After about a 3 week.
Yeah, absolutely.
Christmas holidays and New Year's and a heart attack.
And that's right. And when we, folks, when we say heart attack, that is not a joke. Mr. Jason over here did have a heart attack. I don't remember the date. I guess it's 3 weeks ago.
December the 14th. December. 2 days after my 52nd birthday.
That's right. 52 so, and had a heart attack.
Yeah, and let me tell you, folks, that's serious business.
And take it serious.
Yeah, take it serious because... if it had not been for my wife, I would probably be 6 feet under today because she convinced me to go on to the hospital.
Hey, you know, that's a great segue to stay tuned to After Sports Talk Live today where we begin our new program. I'm not even sure I told you about this, Jason.
No, you haven't.
Going to have Sandy Seibert come in here after 6 o'clock tonight, and we're starting a program called Path Changers, Habits of Health.
Oh, yeah. Hey,
so
you got a listener here. You got to
lead over for that, Jason.
That's a good lead in because that's something that we all need.
And now I'm going to jump on Facebook and make sure we are indeed starting that tonight.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. So, hey, I look forward to listening to that myself. After Jason has had his ordeal, you know, I honestly, you know, I've kind of looked at my own self and say, you know, what are your eating habits?
Yeah.
You know, and certainly they're not as they should be, and they're still not perfect by any means, but, you know, and we all know folks that's had heart attacks. We all, you know, proud people in our family that have had them, but, you know, when it's somebody about your same age and you sit across the table from, you know, quite regular, it gets your attention. It's, you know, we can't always say, oh, it'll happen to somebody else.
That's right. And that, you know, that's what I always thought. And I had no warning signs, no feeling bad, as you hear people say. And it just hit me. And next thing I knew, I was at Coleman Medical Center and was given. And let me say this. I know Coleman Medical Center takes some shots.
Sure.
You know, you hear people say, if I fall over in the parking lot with a heart attack, take me to Birmingham. If it had not been for Coleman Regional, I would be dead today. UAB, they transferred me to UAB. UAB said Coleman saved my life by giving me some drug that they only give like 3-5% of heart attack victims because it is so risky.
And let me throw this out there about CRNC.
1-3% have bleeding on the brain after taking that.
Wow.
But I was in a position, had no choice.
You had no choice.
If you just listen to the news that CRNC sponsors, they tell you how to live more healthy. So there you go.
There you go. There you go.
And so, it is a lot of eating, but a lot of it hereditary. That's
sure.
What mine's being laid. I mean, my eating has been far from right.
But I'm sure it's better now.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, you have no choice.
Turkey, bacon, turkey, sausage, turkey,
whatever.
Turkey.
Yeah.
But you know people that, and I'd lost 40 pounds a couple of years ago, and I'd gained about 10 back, but you know people that are three times what they should weigh.
Yeah.
And they get checked, and they're clear as a whistle.
Yeah.
And I had a small artery that was blocked, and here's something else. We'll get on Obama while we're at it.
While you're at it.
I had a small
artery. Gotta watch
that
blood pressure now.
That was completely blocked. It caused the heart attack, and they were able to balloon it. Couldn't put a stent in because it was so small and crooked, they said. I've got two major arteries that are 70% blocked that they think they can do with medicine. Well, they could have took care of it while they were in there. But thanks to Obama and his health rules now, they can't do anything to it unless it's 80% blocked.
So for anybody, and now this is not for people who just have, quote, Obamacare.
No,
this is for insurance.
Anybody.
Anybody.
Right.
You have to have 80% blockage before they're allowed to do anything.
Unless they think it's... endangering your health for some other reason.
We'll just wait till later and hope it doesn't endanger your health.
If medication don't take care of it, I will go back in at some point and have another arteriogram. Yeah, that is a blast, I'm telling you.
And I've just confirmed that show will be starting tonight at 6. Yeah. And Jason, I know you love to run out of here and eat dinner. But tonight, you might stick around and be a guest for the first few minutes.
I don't mind.
That was my idea.
I'm eating turkey something when I get home. So.
Yeah, so why be in a hurry for it?
And let me say again,
we're glad you're back.
For my wife.
Absolutely.
Because she had been in the medical field, but she gave me aspirin. We didn't have baby aspirin. Give me an aspirin, told me to chew it.
Yeah.
And I done that, and give me a blood pressure pill and all, and the hospital said that really helped to get the blood flowing. And
right. And to some of those nurses and doctors at Cumming Regional, I believe, if I'm not incorrect, Jason, some of those were some of, I say our kids because our kids right. went to school at Vimont. Weren't you taken care of by some of our former students
sure
at Vimont
was.
High School?
So. First person I saw in there was a Vimont, former Vimont student graduated with Tyler and Eric.
So there you go.
I'm glad to see you.
I'm glad you're here.
All right, folks, enough of that. Let's talk about something that may cause heart attacks.
Let's do, but before we do that, Jason, let me make an announcement, as I mentioned to you little bit ago. If you have not heard, all Cumming County schools will be closed tomorrow. No school in Cumming County. I don't think that applies. Jay, do you know if that applies to Cumming City? Do you know anything about Cumming City?
I have not heard yet. I'll see if I can verify that.
Okay,
while y'all
But what I'm talking about right now is Cumming County schools only will be closed tomorrow due to, you know, the situation of, you know, some potential snow coming in, roads getting kind of slick, and, you know, we got a lot of buses that travel a lot of miles during the day. So I applaud Superintendent Barnett for making that decision. You know, we may not get anything, and it may turn out being sunny and 70.
Right.
But, you know, it's not worth the risk.
No, no.
I mean, the day is not worth the risk.
Yeah, there's plenty of other days.
Posted 3 minutes ago on Cumming City Schools Facebook or Twitter feed is, yes, city schools are closed tomorrow.
Okay. Cumming County, Cumming City, schools close tomorrow. And this for Cumming County, and I'll speak for Cumming County only, that will also mean there will be no after-school activities. And I think Cumming High School moved their game, their basketball game, to tonight. They moved it up in anticipation of some, you know, potentially winter weather coming in. So there will be no after-school activities tomorrow. School canceled.
And Ronnie, everybody, I've done it myself, laughs and makes jokes about, you know, they're giving a chance of snow flurries in Montgomery, so we're going to call school off in Cumming.
That's right.
But you are gambling with precious cargo there. I think the little deal, what was it, a couple of years ago in Birmingham where everybody got trapped,
kids got trapped at school.
And
well, and if you remember also, Jason, this is maybe three years ago here, we had the situation where all of a sudden, I mean, it was cold. Yeah. And we're trying to get school dismissed, and buses had to go back to the schools and wait. You remember, in about a couple of hours, the temperatures warmed up, and we were able to get kids home. So that'll get your attention.
Yeah.
You know, when the buses have to turn around and go back to school because the roads are too bad. Yeah.
The latest that I've heard about this deal tomorrow, and of course they keep changing this about every 4 hours, but the majority of the accumulation, and they're saying up to 2 inches possible now. Not everywhere, you know, it'll kind of drift. Some areas will get a little more, some areas will get a little bit less.
Right.
But most of that is supposed to come after dark tomorrow night. Tomorrow is going to be kind of a wet, nasty, drizzly day, but the temperature is supposed to drop below freezing before daybreak and remain there. So it's going to be below freezing all day.
So the bottom line is, if you don't have to be out, just stay home, especially, you know, maybe Saturday morning after the snow and, you know, things have fallen. If you don't have to be out on the highways going places, just stay home.
Right, and if you wait till lunchtime Saturday, you're probably going to be okay because they say the sun's going to be out Saturday and not getting warm, but the sun will probably burn off anything on the paving.
Exactly.
And let's fast forward to about Wednesday of next week. High temperatures in the mid-60s the rest of the week.
Hey.
Right. Welcome to Alabama.
That's golf course. Golf course right there. Hey, Jason, you know, it's time for us to start talking a little bit of a little sports, which is what we're here for. Let me make this announcement also. The varsity boys and girls and freshman teams and JV county tournament will be starting January 21st through the 28th. Next Wednesday, we will have the draw to see how teams end up being seeded. We don't know that yet. That will take place next Wednesday at the County Board of Education. After that point, then we'll know and we can announce game times and when teams are playing and those kind of things. So just FYI for folks that the Cumming County tournament, varsity tournament, will be January 21st through the 28th at Wallace State Coliseum, which is just a fantastic place to go watch a basketball
game. Can't beat that. The facility, the tournament. Go down there, get comfortable, get you a popcorn and Coke,
right.
and watch all the basketball
Absolutely.
You can endure.
That's so. Right. And there should be some. We have some really good teams in the county this year. Coach Springs girls, I believe, have lost one game. Priceville, I believe, beat them yep. during the holidays. Fairview girls have only lost two-ish, three-ish. I can pull it up and look, but, you know, they are very good. West Point's girls are very good. Maybe a couple losses, no more than that. So we have three varsity girls teams that are quality and are ranked. And then with the boys, we have this is Ronnie's opinion, which doesn't mean anything.
But the record speaks for itself.
But the record speaks for itself. Holly Pond is probably not probably. The most talented club in the county. I'm not saying they're going to go down there and walk through and everybody's going to roll over and, you know, let them beat them 40. I'm not saying that. But they have lost one game this year. They played in a tournament up in Pigeon Forge and lost to a club out of Ohio. Close ball game. I think they lost by 5 or 6, something like that. So, but they are an outstanding basketball team. So it's going to be a good tournament. So folks, you know, come out and support those kids. January 21st, when it starts, that's on a Saturday, and the finals will be the 28th, which is the following Saturday.
All right. Little championship game coming up this Monday night.
Just a small one.
A repeat of last year.
Yeah.
And maybe it'll be a repeat of last year. I don't know. We'll see.
It may be. And I know we're going to talk a lot about.
Oh, we're going to get in it hard today.
We're going to talk a lot about the Alabama-Clemson game and about the situation with the coaching
change.
Hey,
let me throw this at you before we get deep into that
yeah.
and before we have our guest.
Yeah.
We, Ronnie and I text back and forth during ball games frequently, and Auburn got blown out by Oklahoma the other night, but
yeah.
we talked probably more about Mitzen
yeah.
in the backfield for Oklahoma. He breaks the girl's jaw.
This was about 2 years ago.
Yeah. And supposedly it was investigated. The tape was supposedly never seen by the coaching staff. Well, the tape comes out, what, middle of December?
Yeah, yeah.
For everybody to see because some reporter had got a hold of it. And still, Mixon is in the backfield.
Yeah.
And if you see that tape.
It's brutal.
Yeah. How in the world can Stoops justify letting that man play?
I couldn't agree with you more, Jason. And I wouldn't care I don't care that it's Oklahoma or if it's Auburn, if it's Alabama. If you have not seen it, I'm not telling you to go out and pull it up. But it is alarming, for the lack
awful.
Of a better word. And I'm not saying the young lady, wasn't saying things to him maybe that she shouldn't have.
Right, it kind of looked like she may have instigated.
She may very well have instigated. However.
Right.
There is no excuse for that behavior, none whatsoever. And yes, they and Jason, you know, kind of the story behind the story is Bob Stoops will tell you that he was suspended last year. Okay, that is true technically. He was suspended for the entire season for that. However, they failed to tell you that they used a red shirt. He was suspended.
Explain to everybody what a red shirt is.
Red shirt is you basically. Red shirt basically means you got 4 years of eligibility that you can play, but you've got 5 years to get those in. So if a 18-year-old freshman goes to college, you can red shirt him his first year in college, and he still has 4 years that he can play.
Right, so if he goes in and he's not quite good enough the first year.
That's right.
They call red shirting, and
right.
he sits out a year, and then the next year
he's
ready to go.
That's exactly, and you get one red shirt year. But that's what they did with Mixon is they say they suspended him for a year, and technically that's true, but they used a red shirt year, so he has 4 full years of eligibility to play.
And we're going to ask our guest today their opinion on that, and then I know you saw it, Grayson Allen, the Duke star standout.
That is inexcusable.
Indefinite suspension. He set out one game.
Yeah. I don't know if the reason for that may be because Krzyzewski is going, he's having back surgery. He's going to be out a month. They want to get this, you know, they want to get another guy in, you know, his assistant to because he's a good player, you know, help him continue to win. But we can get back on that later.
All right, Jeffrey, first caller of the day, and usually our first caller.
That's
Jeffrey,
right.
Welcome back to the new and revamped Sports Talk Live.
Well, I heard that. Being revamped, huh?
Yeah. New year, man.
How healthy are you swimming?
Oh, yeah. I've got probably 12, 15 pounds off.
He's looking good, Jeffrey.
Do you want a turkey sandwich?
No. No, I don't even want to hear the word.
Oh, man. Hey, Jeffrey.
Did y'all have a good holiday?
We did, John.
Yes, sir.
I know Jason's a little...
Actually, I had a good holiday. I got it over with and was able to enjoy everything. I felt pretty good. So,
yeah. Hey, Jeffrey. Jeffrey, I got a couple questions because we got Chris coming at 4:30.
Right.
Maybe Jake, can we run a little bit longer and talk with Jeffrey for a few minutes and then take a break? Maybe at 25 after or something like that.
That's fine with me.
Okay, good. Hey, Jeffrey, I got just a couple of questions here. Number one is. The bowl season as a whole, how did you like the bowl season? And I want you to talk about Florida State and their performance, and then we'll get on Alabama, Clemson, and some of this other stuff. But what did you think about the bowls as a whole?
I think some of them were pretty good. I think, as typical, some of them wasn't. I'm not a big fan of a team 6-6 or a team 5-7 getting to go to a bowl game. So I think we have too many bowl games, which is probably – cut down on some of the luster of the other bowl games, if you know what I mean.
I agree.
Hey, Jeffrey, did you notice?
I think there was some pretty good football as far as that's concerned, though. I mean, it was some pretty good football, I believe.
You're talking about taking the luster off. I haven't even asked Ronnie this. I'll ask both of you. But did you notice the Sugar Bowl the other night? Far from sold out.
I noticed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's not the only one. I mean, there's several that didn't sell out. But, yeah, you're right. It didn't at all.
Yeah. And Jason, I agree with you, and I agree with Jeffrey. And we were at home watching it, and I said, look in the upper deck. I mean, there were your pick of seats up there, basically. And I said, I can't ever remember, maybe there have been some, I can't remember that poor of crowds at a Sugar Bowl, because a Sugar Bowl used to be, I mean, that was the granddaddy, you know. I mean, that was a biggie. But now, you know, they didn't even come close to filling the place up. And speaking of the Sugar Bowl, Jeffrey, what was your take on that game of Oklahoma Auburn game?
What's the quarterback's name? I can't think of his name.
Sean White.
I knew it was something White. Anyway, he needs to learn how to slide.
No doubt about it.
You know, when you've got those big old, I call them, they fill up a doorway. I call them doorway guys. When there's three of them coming at you, you need to learn how to slide.
Yeah,
you don't lower your shoulder and try to run over them when you're Sean White.
No.
He might also ought to learn how to, like, know when he's got a broken arm. But I don't know.
That's another one. He's got to realize that if they go to a backup quarterback, Auburn stands absolutely zero chance.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
He's got to realize to do with anything to take the minimum of him getting hurt out of that. I mean, to keep him getting hurt. He's got to realize we've got to do stuff to keep that from happening.
Yeah. You know, in this bowl game, did Gus Malzahn no good whatsoever? Not that they lost the ball game. It was the fashion in which they were just, for lack of a better word, they just got dominated after their first possession when they went down and scored. You know, the things I've been seeing and reading, I mean, people are putting the hammer on Gus because after Sean White goes out, they don't have anybody that can give them a chance to win.
Hey, Ronnie.
Yes.
What's new?
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, you know what I would do if I was Auburn AD? I would make a private phone call to Chip Kelly. If he was interested, I'd fire Gus. And get Chip Kelly down there.
That's a good point. We were talking about that today, not necessarily about Auburn, Jeffrey, but we may see some coaches get their legs cut out from under them because Chip Kelly is now available. So that wouldn't surprise me that's going to happen, I believe, somewhere in this country. I'm not saying Auburn, but somewhere in this country, somebody's going to lose their job because Chip Kelly's available. That's a great point.
The funny thing about Chip Kelly is about 3 weeks ago, he was like, I am not interested in going back to college, period. Then he got fired, and they asked him again. He said, well, I'll talk about any coaching job anybody wants to talk about.
Yeah,
Chip's done in the NFL.
Yeah, Chip will never – he is through. I agree with Jason. His time in the NFL is over. His style, his philosophy of football does not, will not work in the pro game. It's already been proven.
Exactly. And as much money, you can probably get him for a little bit cheaper than what you think you can, because as much money as San Francisco's giving him.
Right.
But they've got to give him because of his contract. I heard it's something like for him is – him and his assistants is like something like $62 million.
Wow, goodness! Wow.
Hey Jeffrey, what does it say when you're an NFL coach and you're fired after one season? I don't think I've ever heard of that before.
I don't think I have either. It's saying at least 2 years and he quit, didn't he?
Hey, take the money and run's what I'd say.
Spurrier was there what? 2 years? Yeah, I think. Wasn't it? Three years.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, I don't know. If you ain't raised in NFL, I don't think you'd be a good coach. Now, the coach of Miami now,
yeah.
I heard this today. I didn't know this, but, you know, the story has been long told that when Saban threw a plane back from LSU to Michigan State, that no coach got on it. I heard a story today that coach of Miami now, he said he's the only one that got on that plane and flew back.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I think it worked out pretty good for him.
You got that right. Hey, let me ask you this, Jeff. We got a couple minutes left. Give me your thoughts. I was thinking about you during the Florida State game. So, give us your thoughts as a diehard Florida State fan. I thought, from my point, they were darn impressive.
They were impressive for about 3.5 quarters, and about half of the fourth quarter, I don't know if they got content or what.
Yeah.
But I thought they did pretty good for 3.5 quarters. And yeah, they were impressive. They were really impressive. Because I thought Florida State winning, and I know this is going to sound weird from winning score, I thought it would be a lot closer than that.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you take away that half a quarter, that's pretty much blew them out of the water.
Oh, absolutely. And I thought they looked good. I thought defensively, for the most part, they played really well.
They did. I think that's the best defensive game they played all year. Knowles came out with a win, but I hate that we lost that NCAA extra point kicking record. The record stopped at 302 consecutive extra points made.
Well, I tell you, that's one record Alabama won't ever have to worry about.
But yeah, I thought they were impressive. But you're talking about the bowl games. If you look at the Orange Bowl, it wasn't sold out either. The upper deck was empty on it. It was partially empty on it, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely
was. You know. Hey, Jeffrey, I hate to cut you short, man, but we've got a break, and then we've got to get our usual callers in that call in from Vegas and Chicago. Since you're here at Viamont, we can holler to you about any time. So.
All right, we all have a
good one. Hey, Jeffrey, thanks for calling.
All right, we'll see you.
See you. All right, that's Jeffrey, a faithful caller.
Faithful caller, Florida State fan.
He can't help it.
No, he can't.
All right, Sports Talk Live, and Ronnie, want to say a special hello to Kelly Patton, who said, listening, probably want to win a prize or something.
Oh, so. Yeah, I'm sure it sums up with
that. Yeah. All right, going to a short break. When we come back, we will have Mr. Chris Andrews from Las Vegas, Nevada.
And I want to remind everybody about the new show at 6. I got a promo coming up for that here in the commercial break, so y'all stay tuned.
And Kelly might win a turkey sandwich.
Yeah, might win a turkey sandwich.
Live 95, Cullman's Independent Radio, is proud to present yet another local community program for Cullman. Join us immediately following Sports Talk Live on Thursdays for a brand new show that will help our listeners focus on lifestyle health, including working towards a goal of reaching your optimal weight and creating an optimal health environment for the rest of your life. Join host Sandy Seibert each and every Thursday evening at 6 p.m. for Path Changers, Habits of Health, immediately following Sports Talk Live, right here on the station that is all about Cullman, by Cullman, for Cullman. Live 95.5 FM, Coleman's Independent Radio. You've thought about it. You've talked about it. You've even stared into the mirror dreaming about it. Well, now is the time, and Coleman Sports Fit is the place to get that body you've been wanting. Shaping Coleman since 1989, Coleman Sports Fit offers free weights and Cybex machines, treadmills, stair steppers, ellipticals, and an indoor track. Want to get wet? Take a swim in the indoor pool, whirlpool, or steam room. Coleman Sports Fit offers a variety of fun group classes too, like spinning, muscle pump, Zumba, cardio sculpt, or dance fit. Plus, Coleman Sports Fit has the area's only racquetball courts. And for seniors, Coleman Sports Fit is a proud provider of Silver Sneakers and Silver Fit, a seniors only exercise plan at little or no cost. Coleman Sports Fit Wellness Center, Highway 31 next to the Ag Center. For more information, visit ColemanSportsFit.com. Hey guys, let's face it, we all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089. 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
All right, that may be what the Clemson Tigers are singing.
Hey,
I think the Auburn Tigers.
Auburn already stopped believing. We stopped believing about midway of the season.
Yeah, exactly right.
All right, 4:28, and it's time for one of our favorite, if not our favorite,
absolutely,
time of the week when we talk to Mr. Chris Andrews. Chris, welcome back to Sports Talk Live.
Thank you. I was going to say, one of your favorites. I thought I was in the number one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you are. You are.
Okay.
Yeah, there's no question about it, Chris.
Hey, Chris, before we talk about the big game that you know we're going to drill you on, Ronnie and I both want to say congratulations to your Penn State Nittany Lions. Man, they look like a solid team. Give us your thoughts on that game. It was a roller coaster, I'm sure, for you, highs and lows. But just give us your thoughts of it and tell us how important that was for Penn State.
Well, early on, you know, I kept telling everybody, we got them right where we want them, boys. You know, we looked like we were getting blown out. You know? The power of positive thinking there, I think. But, you know, we really turned it around. My wife, she says, she went out shopping. And, I mean, I was at work, you know, but she went out shopping. She said that she couldn't stand to watch it. And I'm texting her. I says, you know, we have the lead, 28-27, whatever it was, I think at the time, 28-27. She says, you're kidding me. I said, no, I'm not. So she ran home, and I'm up there. Yeah, we're scoring like every 2 minutes, I think, you know. And, you know, for a while there, I thought I went from early on thinking we were going to get blown out. Then I thought we were going to win going away. And then, of course, I knew it got a little tighter, and, you know, what happened at the end was exactly what I was afraid of. And we just got too conservative. You know, I think Franklin's done a fantastic job. But he got a little too conservative offensively and defensively in the fourth quarter. And, you know, it came back to bite us. And, you know, that's just what happened. But, you know, we lost to a really good team, a terrific quarterback. I think it's got to help recruiting tremendously for Penn State. And, you know, if you look at the first 4 weeks of the season, we were 2-2, and everybody's asking me, who are we going to get to replace Franklin? And, now he won some Coach of the Year awards, and I think he deserved them, and, future's looking bright. I'm very happy.
Yeah, I think Ronnie and I even asked you about who would Franklin's replacement be.
Yeah. I had like PJ Fleck in mind, and, you know, just a couple other guys we were talking about, but, you know, that I don't think we're looking for a replacement now. A guy looks like he's pretty solidly entrenched.
Hey, Chris, let me throw one at you right here. What has been the talk or your feelings, you know, with the four teams that were in the playoff and Penn State not getting in and then Ohio State looking absolutely horrific, for a lack of a better word? Do you think the committee got it right, or you think, hey, the committee got it wrong? It should have been Penn State against Clemson.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm trying not to show my bias, but the thing is, I really do think you need to win your conference. And you know, I talked about that before, that,
amen,
you know, what we say and what you think, and, you know, you have votes and all this, it's a bunch of crap, really. I mean, you got to prove it on the field. And listen, I think Penn State probably deserved it over Ohio State just because they won the conference. But the other one I would throw out there is Oklahoma. I mean, they lost two early games to Houston and Ohio State. They didn't have to schedule them. They could have scheduled, you know, Lamar and Sam Houston State. They'd have been undefeated and gone through the Big 12, you know, undefeated again, and they'd be in the playoff. Yeah. And, you know, I just think, yeah, first of all, four doesn't work when there's five power conferences.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you need to go to eight or at least six, and, you know, I just think you have to win your conference. I mean, we're supposed to prove these things on the field, not by some vote. It's the only sport in the world that does that, and it's probably the second biggest money sport in the world next to pro football, NFL football. And we determine it by a vote. It just seems ridiculous.
I agree.
No doubt about it.
Just watching the Clemson-Ohio State game, I mean, it was Ohio State was so, you know, and maybe they're a lot better team than what they played. I'm not saying they're not. I don't know.
Good word, Ronnie. Yeah, that was a good word for what they looked like.
Yeah, but they just got lit up from the time it started until it was over. And, I mean, it was just awful. So, you know, I was saying, geez, you know, Penn State won the conference, beat Ohio State, and they still get left out because they had two losses, basically.
Yeah, just, you know, like I said, throw Oklahoma right in that same boat. You know, I mean, I don't think it's fair how they do it, and I think they're going to have to reevaluate a little bit. You know, Washington, I think, deserved it. And, you know, they played well early. They had a couple breaks go against them. You know, I mean, it's easy to say now, but we know how football is. It's always a big play here or there, but, you know, the big plays went against them, and that figures. I mean, Bama has the better athletes, and those are the guys who are going to make the big plays, you know. But Washington, I think they represented themselves okay. You know, the second half, they just couldn't compete.
Right.
Hey, Chris, before we get into the big game, we've got a couple of situations I want to get your opinion on. The little controversy always does the blood some good. So not much to talk about when it comes to the Auburn-Oklahoma game. You and I text back and forth before the game, and I think it went pretty much like we expected, maybe a little worse than we expected. But I want to ask you about Bob Stoops and his decision after seeing the film, knowing everything that's on the table with Mixon, to still allow this guy on the field to play for the University of Oklahoma after breaking the girl's jaw.
Well, that's a tough one. You know, I think we have to remember that they did make him sit out a year. You know, so it's not like they just didn't let him start. And I know that
Chris,
was probably one of the things, you know, once the film came out. But, you know, forget about the film. You kind of knew what happened. I mean, he punched her. He broke her jaw. Now, you know, I mean, listen, it was a really stupid thing. Nobody can advocate anything about his actions, you know, no matter what she did to him. I mean, it's a girl.
Right.
I mean,
and she may have instigated.
Walk away. Yeah, she might have, you know, but still, you got to be man enough to walk away from something like that. You just have to be. I'm sorry. That's a double standard. It's just too bad. You just have to walk away from that. And so I thought he was properly punished, to be honest with you. Like I said, they did make him sit out a year. I mean, he was a 20-year-old kid. I mean, is it a life sentence for doing
that? Okay, Chris, let me ask you this, though. Ronnie made me aware. I didn't know this till he told me before the show. They actually used a red shirt on Mixon for that, so he really wasn't even punished. He still got 4 years.
Well, that I can't answer for that. That's just Bob Stoops. It's not all that surprising that he do that. I didn't know that either, but now that you're throwing that out there, I'm not all that surprised.
Right.
You know,
right.
But you know, my question would be like, I mean, is it a life sentence? You know, your kid can never play again or what? I mean, I don't know. I haven't heard him talk. I mean, the word is that he was, you know, very contrite and very sorry for it. Now, I mean, what do you expect them to say? Of course they're going to say that. Might be true. It might not. I don't know. But I didn't have a problem with it. I really didn't, you know. And I know, you know, Musburger got in a lot of heat for what he said. And, you know, he probably could have said it a little better and mentioned the woman that was involved, which he didn't.
Right.
You know, but other than that, I mean, what do they want him to do? My God, I mean, kid can never play, can't earn a living for a mistake he made as a 20-year-old. I just don't see that. I'm sorry.
All right, let me ask you this, and then I'll let Ronnie jump on the ball again. Has college ball, in your opinion, began to turn even more heads, a blind eye to the many problems due to the huge demand to get wins? For example, Grayson Allen with Duke. Indefinite suspension, sits out one game, and is back on the court last night. Mixon in Oklahoma, and then even right here in our state, Nick Saban signs Jonathan Taylor after he was kicked off the Georgia team for domestic violence, and then shortly after was kicked off the Alabama team for domestic violence.
Well, is it worse? I don't know. I mean, it's no better, you know, but you know, I'm 60. I don't know how old you guys are. Probably fairly close, but
it seems like
it's been going on for a long time. You know, there's always been that kind of crap.
It's money ruling the roost now, though. I guess is what I'm saying. That coaches are willing to turn a blind eye.
And I don't know. One of these guys has pointed out, you know, when let's take John Wooden for example, when he was coaching at UCLA, his top salary that he ever made. I mean, it's hard to believe. He retired in, 74 or 76?
Mid-70s,
It's like $35,000 a year.
Wow.
I mean, it's hard to believe. That was his top salary. Now, I'm sure he made more. He did some radio. Okay, so let's even put it up to $200,000.
Right.
You know, I mean, what's Bill Self get at Kansas? I think it's like $7 million like that. You know, Saban's in that same, you know, conversation.
Yeah, Coach K, $9 million at Duke.
Yeah, Coach K, $9 million. I mean, this is crazy. I mean, so, you know, the numbers have just grown astronomically. And, you know, whenever you have money like that involved, I read where, like, the guys from Oregon, when they cut, what's his name, Selfridge or Helfrich, whatever his name is.
Helfrich.
It'd be like $16 million they owe him and the staff, like, this next year. You know, whenever you have that kind of money involved, you know, people just, they want to see results. I mean, I know it's donations, et cetera, et cetera. But these are high-powered people that are making these kind of donations, and they're used to getting their way and used to being successful, and they don't want to sit there and see you know, Grayson Allen missing too many games just, you know, in their minds, just for tripping some kid, you know. So just the way it goes.
Yeah. Hey, Chris, let's jump into the game Monday night, Alabama Crimson Tide and the Clemson Tigers. My first question is, I want you to lay the cards on the table now, flip them over. What's the current line on this game?
Well, we're at 7. I see some other people, some other people are at 6.5. We're a little high. But, I mean, we got bet pretty strong on Alabama. Let me just tell you, I opened the game 7. The first wave came in on Clemson. So we went down to 6.5, and at 6.5, it's been all Bama. So finally this morning, I went to 7, and they are taking back the 7. So I'm getting kind of evened up. But right now it looks like they're going to lay 6.5 on Bama and take the 7 on Clemson. So that's the kind of spot that we're going to be in.
Let me ask you this, Chris, let me just move on. My next question would be, what effect, if any, do you think Lane Kiffin's departure is going to have on the Alabama team? Is it going to have, and then did his departure have any effect on the line, which is what I wanted to know?
You know, I think it had a little bit of an effect, at least in my mind. You know, when I opened the game 7 and then the Kiffin stuff came out, I probably moved it, you know, fairly quickly down. You know, I think it'll have some effect. I really do. And, you know, even from being on your show the last couple of years, you know, I've never been the biggest Sarkisian fan. And Lane Kiffin certainly has his problems, you know, emotionally, personally, whatever. But the guy was a pretty good play caller, and especially with Saban kind of, you know, keeping his foot on him a little bit to make sure he ran the ball enough and did those kind of things to help them win the game. You can't argue with the success that Lane Kiffin had since he went to Alabama. Now, all of a sudden, here's the last week of the season. You're going to insert this guy who's been part of the program for what, like about a month, something like that, maybe 6 weeks?
Right.
You know, so I think that there is going to be some sort of slight effect. However, you have to figure that during the course of the season, they've gotten a pretty good blueprint of what they want to do, whether it's Lane Kiffin's input or if it's Nick Saban's input or even Sarkisian's input. You know, they have a blueprint of what they're going to do. In other words, I don't think that they're going to just start from scratch and rip up the playbook and have this whole thing. And I think whatever Sark is calling, I'm sure Nick Saban's going to have veto power, and I guarantee if it's 4th-and-1 at some point and they decide to go for it, Nick's going to have the final say over what play they run to get that 1 yard.
Right.
So I think it'll have a little bit of an effect, but you know, it did affect me a little bit on the number, but the more I think about it, I think I probably overreacted. I think it'll have a little effect, but not that much.
Chris, do you think the main reason for for Saban, you know, you hear different things, for Saban and Kiffin agreeing that it would be best for Kiffin to go on. I'm not the smartest person in the world, but I think I can kind of read through that. In my opinion, there was no mutual, this is what's best. No, the bottom line is we stunk it up offensively, and that was the last straw that Saban was going to deal with. If Alabama had put up 500 yards of offense and had scored 40 points, do you think Kiffin would be gone today?
Yeah, I do. I do. I think that you guys are way closer. Excuse me, I got a cough today. You guys are way closer to the program than I'll ever be. But it just seemed like a mutual decision is when Nick says something and you have pretty much no choice but to nod your head and say yes.
Right.
So I think he just kind of had enough of Kiffin. And, Kiffin was looking for that Houston job. I think he thought he had it.
Right.
Evidently he didn't. He's been shopping himself around pretty good, which, you know, I don't blame him. I think I would probably want to do that, too, if I were him. You know, but we had talked about it earlier. He had it pretty good with Saban, but you know, maybe Nick just kind of had enough of them. They seemed like sort of strange bedfellows anyway,
right?
And may have just been, it was time to move on. And he has been named a coach of another school, even though Florida Atlantic, I'm not sure is that's not like taking over Houston or Oklahoma or anything like that. You know, I think he probably could have done both jobs if he wanted to.
Right.
But I think Nick just sort of had enough. If it was last week's game or just a culmination of 3 years, I think that the time had come.
I agree. Hey, getting back to the game itself, Chris, do you see, in your opinion, do you see a noticeable difference one team to the other from last year? You know, is one team much better in one area than they were last year? Just looking for your opinion on that.
Well, I think in almost every area, Clemson's a little bit worse. I think they got lucky in a couple games to walk away with a victory. Louisville being one that really stands out. Clemson kind of reminds me a little bit of that Florida State team a couple years ago who was defending its national championship. They had Jameis Winston coming back, and just about everybody, really, and really were not that good and got into the playoffs and got waxed. Now, I said that going into last week, and I did kind of like Ohio State against Clemson, and obviously I couldn't have been more wrong. But I'm not sure if it was Ohio State's ineptitude or maybe Clemson has finally found their game. You know, I really don't know. We'll find out, I guess, on
right.
Monday night. But I still, I have a feeling that Clemson is probably not as good as they were last year. And I think Bama's probably every bit as good as they were last year. Defensively, probably even better.
Right, right. Okay. My last question then, and Jason's got, he's got a couple more, Chris. What do you see as the most interesting matchup in this game? And then my second part is, what will be the key for either team to win? To win this game.
Oh man, that's a tough one. You know, I always think football really starts at the line of scrimmage. And, you know, I think we want to see, you know, there's two pretty good offensive and defensive lines here for both, really on each squad. And I think whoever controls the line of scrimmage, I think they're going to have a huge advantage. And I think right now, I think defensively, probably pretty close. As far as like who has a better defensive line, but I think the offensive line, I think you got to give a pretty good edge to Alabama. You know, now they're going to have their work cut out for them trying to handle that Clemson defensive line, which I think is very good. But I think they'll have more success than Clemson's offensive line trying to handle the defensive line of Alabama. But those are the ones that I think you'll really see who's moving who back. And yeah, I think Bama probably has an edge there.
Okay. Hey, I got one more, and then Jason's got some. From the line that is set, which is, you said 7, is that pretty much, I guess, in line with the national championship game, a point spread, or is that a wide point spread, or is that a very close point spread in your years of experience?
High.
A little high, okay.
Yeah, it's a little high. I remember when Bama played Notre Dame. I think Bama was like 10.5, 11, and you know they really smoked them pretty good. I think back on the USC Texas game. What's that? About 03, something like that. When they had Vince Young and you had Matt Leinart for USC,
yeah, right?
And that number was about 8. And, of course, Texas beat them outright. You know, so I've seen it get this high every once in a while. But usually we're closer to about a field goal, something like that. But you know, upsets happen. Yeah, that's just a betting number, not really a prediction.
Right. Gotcha.
All right, Chris. We're going to go over this thing, kind of dissect it in different areas. Each one of us give opinion. We'll start with you, if you don't mind. And you just tell us who you think has the edge in each of these areas. On the offensive line, who do you give the edge to, Alabama or Clemson?
I give Bama the edge on the offensive line.
Okay. Ronnie?
I agree.
All right. We're all three agreeing on that. All right. Chris, tight end and receivers. Boy, that was a big breath.
That's a big sigh there.
That's a big sigh. Yeah, that's a big sigh. Yeah, I think I got to give Clemson a little bit of an edge. Yeah, I give Clemson a slight edge.
I'm right there with Chris. I agree. You know, they've got the, I believe I may get the name wrong, the Williams, the receiver for Clemson, did not play last year, about 6'4", 6'5", kid, going to be a good pro receiver. He may be a little bit more than some of those guys in the secondary can handle. I'm with Chris. I think Clemson overall will be receiver.
As bad as I hate to do it, I'm there too. I went through all these things today and made my mind up.
Okay.
And I thought.
So we all agreed on both shows. Okay.
I was hoping I'd disagree some. Chris, lend the running back in the backfield.
Boy, I love Wayne Gallman. That kid's just tough. I think I still got to give Bama a little bit of an edge, though. Probably because of that offensive line. It just moves people out a little bit better. You know, but, you know, on individual talent, I might give it to Clemson, but, like, as far as, like, the running game, to lump it all together, I think I'd give it to Bama.
Okay. I'm agreeing with Chris. I think as a unit between Bo Scarborough, Harris, and Jacobs, they're three quality backs. And I think you could win in the SEC with any one of those, you know, as your feature back. So I think Bama has an edge.
All right. And I'm there with you again. All right. Let's move to quarterback.
tough to go against Watson.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, experience and talent, and you know, 2-3 years from now, we might give you a totally different answer. But you know, they're playing this Monday, and I think you got to give it to Watson and Clemson.
I couldn't agree more. There's no doubt that it's Watson. To me, I know he didn't win the Heisman, but to me, he's the best player, best offensive player in college football. For me, that is the glaring difference of all these categories in my mind, is how much better Watson potentially can be or will be than what Hurts is. And Hurts is a quality, you know, he's a quality player. I'm not saying he's not, but I just think Clemson has a distinct advantage at the quarterback spot.
I'm there with you again, and for the exact reason Chris said, Watson been there, done that.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, like I said, 2-3 years from now, we might give you a different answer.
Absolutely.
They're playing Monday. We can only go by that.
That's right. And Hurts had, if we look at his past performance, he had 57 yards passing against Washington.
Ooh.
Yeah. Ooh, that is bad.
That's bad.
All right, Chris, defensive line.
Oh, man. That's a tough one. That's what I said. I thought, really, defensive line, about a push. I got some numbers up on my screen here. Geez, really hard to.
Yeah, Chris, you with all those numbers running, I should probably just agree with you every time.
No, believe me. You got, yeah, I think Bama's is probably a little bit better.
All right.
I have to agree.
And I'm there, Bama. Too.
Yeah.
That's okay. Hard for me to go against that defensive line of
Alabama.
Yeah.
Potentially the best defensive team ever in college football.
Right.
I mean, that'd be argued, certainly. But if they win this game Monday night, they certainly have a legitimate argument, especially if they control Clemson, you know, keep them to, say, 21 points, something like that.
All right, Chris, linebackers, inside and outside linebackers.
You know, I'd have to, I don't know that I could give a good scouting report there. I just would go with Bama just because the strength of the overall defense, but I don't want to pretend like I'm any kind of a scout because I'm not.
Yeah. I'm not either, but, I know Reuben Foster will probably go in the first round of the draft, so that'd be my choice alone to give Alabama the advantage.
And I'm again there with
you. We're all agreeing.
All right, about three
more.
Well,
this isn't very good. We're all in accordance with each other.
Yeah, we may have a disagreement on this one coming up.
Okay.
The secondary.
Secondary. Yeah, I'm looking at numbers. It's really close. All right, just to be different, I'm going to go with Clemson. I know they've forced a few more sacks are about the same. They forced a few more interceptions. I'll go with Clemson. Probably just to differ with you guys, but I'm going to go with Clemson.
Okay.
I was sitting here thinking, I'm going Clemson because Bama gives up. So they give up a lot. Well, when they give up plays, they give up big plays. So I was certainly going to go Clemson.
And Chris, you can ask Ronnie. I wrote the letter down before you said it, and also went with Clemson.
Okay. Well, I'm looking at numbers here. They're really close. The Clemsons are, like, slightly better, you know, so anyway.
You know, I think if Alabama has a weakness, that may be it on the defense.
I agree.
All right. Two more. Special teams.
Man, special teams. Look here real quick. Well, it looks like Bama has a slight edge, you know. I got to go with Bama.
All right. You got the numbers. So.
I'll go with them just because of J.K. Scott. They have such a great punter because their field goals are quite shaky sometimes.
All right. And I'm going to go Clemson. I'm going to be the only probably disagreement in the whole thing, and only because of what you said, Ronnie.
Yeah.
Field goals.
Yeah.
And I think if it comes down to a kicking game, Alabama's in trouble.
I agree. I completely agree with you.
All right, Chris. Last one before we move on and finish this thing up. Coaching.
Well, you know, I think you got to give it to Saban. I think Dabo's a heck of a coach, and you know, maybe someday he's in the same conversation. I guess he's in the same conversation, but I think right now Saban's in the conversation with Bear Bryant,
right,
Joe Paterno, and you know, whoever else you want to put in as the greatest college coaches of all time. He's definitely put himself in that category, and you just can't go against that.
Absolutely. It's got to be Nick Saban. I mean, you could put Nick Saban, comparing him up against any college coach in the country, and you're you're probably going to have to take Nick Saban just by what he's done.
And, yeah, if one of us had picked anybody other than Nick Saban, we probably needed our temperature check. Yeah. So I'm going with Saban also. Chris, you had six edges to Alabama, four to Clemson. Ronnie would be the same, and I would come in and see 5 and 5.
5 and 5.
So that's pretty even. I mean,
yeah.
Pretty even 6 and 4. All right, Chris, before we let you go, we got to hit the NFL playoffs starting this weekend, the wild card weekend. Any games has your attention?
Well, yeah, you know, I hate to, I'm usually an underdog player, but I got to tell you, I think right now, I think Houston's the right side against Oakland. You know, you just have the kid coming in, Connor Cook. You know, he was a nice quarterback in college, but I mean, the kid never took a snap all year. And, you know, just the way the NFL works, the starter gets 90% of the snaps in practice. Second stringer gets like 10%. The third stringer gets none. He's pretty much playing just scout team quarterback all year. Now all of a sudden you want him to go on the road and win a playoff game.
Right.
You know, I just don't see it. Houston is not a great team, but they do have a pretty darn good defense. And I just think it's going to be a little bit too much for Oakland. And, you know, it's unfortunate because I think Oakland really had a pretty good year. And Derek Carr, I don't think he's quite MVP, but the guy probably in the conversation. But now, the second stringer was McGloin, a kid from Penn State who I didn't mind rooting for. Now he gets hurt and you go to Connor Cook. I mean, I just don't see it. I think Houston probably wins this game comfortably, one of those games like a 21-10 where they're really never challenged to lose the game. So that's the one that I like this week more than anything.
All right, I got one more, and then we'll let you go, Chris. Hey, I want you to give me your score for the national championship game, Alabama-Clemson.
Well, again, I think it'll be a fairly low-scoring game, and I do like Bama in the game. I think you're probably looking at about, 28-13, something like that. And again, I think Bama wins it, fairly comfortably. I see them probably with a lead at halftime and sitting on the ball the second half. You know, maybe if you're an under bettor, you might want to bet that second half under, because I think if Bama has a lead, they won't let Clemson get anywhere near it. I think you're looking at a, 10-10 or 7-7 second half. If Bama can get the lead, and I think they will, I think Bama wins a low scoring game, but fairly comfortably.
Okay, right. One other thing, Chris. The line I saw on the over-under for the game was 51.5, I believe. What do you think on that?
Well, I like an under. You know, we opened it a little higher. I think we opened 53.5. They bet us under, and I kind of agree with it. I think that you're going to see, two opponents, kind of like a heavyweight fight come out slugging it out a little bit early, but I think Bama gets the edge, and just, they're going to sit on the lead as much as grabbing the lead, just trying to figure out how to win a game. And I think they'll be able to do it. And I think the way they'll do it is keeping Clemson off the scoreboard.
All right. Man, Chris, again, we appreciate your knowledge and your input into this show. It makes the week a whole lot more entertaining for us and fun and educational. You the man that's got the figures. So.
Well, thank you very much. But we'd be remiss. How you feeling, Jason?
Hey, I'm doing great, Chris. Thanks for asking. If I can
get sound good.
Well, thank you. If I can get used to eating turkey all the time, I'll make it. Give me a good greasy burger.
My heart bleeds for you.
He told us before the show started that he felt like he was 12 all over again.
Yeah. I didn't go that far. In some areas, I do.
Put some salt on it, and it'll be fine. I would tell you that.
Oh. Okay. All right. Thanks a lot, Chris.
All right, you guys. Talk to y'all soon.
All right. See you, have a great weekend.
Bye-bye. Thanks, man.
All right, 5 o'clock. That means we'll take a short break. And, Ronnie, tell us who's next.
Dan Vosta from Campus Insider in Chicago, Illinois. And I'll bet you Dan's freezing his rear end off.
I bet you Dan's ready to explode. He hadn't talked to us in 3 weeks. So.
He's had to be medicated.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Be right back. Sports Talk Live, 95.5 Coleman.
Live 95, Cullman's Independent Radio, is proud to present yet another local community program for Cullman.
Join us immediately following Sports Talk Live on Thursdays for a brand new show that will help our listeners focus on lifestyle health, including working towards a goal of reaching your optimal weight and creating an optimal health environment for the rest of your life. Join host Sandy Seibert each and every Thursday evening at 6 p.m. for Path Changers, Habits of Health, immediately following Sports Talk Live, right here on the station that is all about Coleman, by Coleman, for Coleman. Live 95.5 FM, Coleman's Independent Radio.
Did you know that you can save 10% or more on your broadband internet bill? Since 2004, Cyber Broadband has been known across Coleman County as the only provider to bring broadband internet access to rural areas not served by cable or telephone providers, and all without those pesky data caps. Now, Cyber Broadband, which is a locally owned and operated company, is introducing a competitive broadband product, Cyber Next Gen DSL, available through Cyber Broadband for on average 10% less than the other providers. Get those cyber benefits, like a $10 referral discount for anyone else that you refer to the service, or bundle with the Cyber Broadband cellular service. Save 10% or more on your broadband internet bill today. More information is available at cyberbroadband.net or by phone at 256-734-1077. Not available in all areas. Generally, if you sign up for broadband service to another company and their promotional discount has expired, Cyber's retail price will be 10% less than the competition standard pricing or better. Chances are, if you don't qualify for the phone company's DSL, you won't qualify for Cyber's next-gen DSL service either, but you may still qualify for Cyber Broadband's radio service. More information is available at www.cyberbroadband.net or by phone at 256-734-1077. Woo! It's tough work, but somebody's got to do it.
Providing Coleman with a unique blend of music from the People's Bank of Alabama studio. You're listening to Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio. WRJMLP Coleman.
You've thought about it. You've talked about it. You've even stared into the mirror dreaming about it. Well, now is the time, and Coleman Sports Fit is the place to get that body you've been wanting. Shaping Coleman since 1989, Coleman Sports Fit offers free weights and Cybex machines, treadmills, stair steppers, ellipticals, and an indoor track. Want to get wet? Take a swim in the indoor pool, whirlpool, or steam room. Coleman Sports Fit offers a variety of fun group classes too, like spinning, muscle pump, Zumba, Cardio Sculpt, or Dance Fit. Plus, Coleman Sports Fit has the area's only racquetball courts. And for seniors, Coleman Sports Fit is a proud provider of Silver Sneakers and Silver Fit, a seniors only exercise plan at little or no cost. Coleman Sports Fit Wellness Center, Highway 31 next to the Ag Center. For more information, visit ColemanSportsFit.com. Hey guys, let's face it, we all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best, so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089, 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
Live 95 is Coleman's Independent Radio. And now it's time to check in on our regional news from the Alabama Radio Network. ARN News is provided as a service of Coleman Regional Medical Center.
Choose the apple over the cookie. Take the stairs instead of the elevator. Staying healthy isn't one choice. It's a lot of little ones. That's why at Coleman Regional we offer so many. Water aerobics classes, blood drives, CPR certification, tobacco treatment programs, over 1,000 screenings. Most are all totally free. Our full list of programs and doctors is available online today at ColemanRegional.com/healthy. Coleman Regional. Live exceptional.
In the ARN News Center, I'm Angie Norvell. A woman being treated at a Birmingham hospital after she was shot several times on First Avenue South. It started with two women fighting in the street. Families from both sides of the argument getting involved, each started shooting. We're told the woman was hit by bullets several times, and the situation's life-threatening. Vestavia Hills police say a woman at the Jefferson County Department of Revenue has been arrested for selling fake driver licenses. Tamiko White, charged with trafficking stolen identities. Financial Crimes Task Force working on this case since last June. Advisor to Senator Jeff Sessions, former RNC spokesperson Sarah Flores, addressing efforts to repeal and replace Obamacare to Fox News.
What needs to happen is we need an HHS secretary who will be Tom Price. He'll be wonderful at this. He has led the charge on the Hill to look at those plans and come up with the best one to move forward on.
She cites a CBS poll from last month showing only 10% of Americans think Obamacare should stay in place. I'm Angie Norfell. This is the Alabama Radio Network. The Talladega Marching Tornado is heading to D.C. College President Billy Hawkins confirms the band's accepted and will participate in the inauguration festivities of President-elect Donald Trump. The invitation to perform sparked a fierce response, mostly from alumni, that the band should decline the opportunity. Talladega College is Alabama's oldest private black liberal arts college. The search continues for a man involved in a motel murder in Jefferson County. Natasha Kendrick, behind bars, found in Mobile County. Police still looking for Shade Williamson, the two suspected in a murder of a man at a Holiday Inn. It's not as bad as it was, but much of Alabama is still in drought. Most of the state's returned to a normal weather pattern with a steady diet of rain. Because of that, no part of the state is under exceptional drought conditions anymore. South Alabama considered completely drought-free, but parts of North and Central Alabama are still dealing with extreme drought conditions. And with students still out for break, Jefferson County schools will be closed to teachers and staff tomorrow due to the threat of winter weather. In sports, the championship game is set for Monday. Alabama Crimson Tide taking on the Clemson Tigers. Tigers head coach, Pride of Pelham, Alabama, Dabo Sweeney.
I mean, this to me is if you're a competitor, this is the way you want it. You know, if you got a chance to go win a championship, you know, you want to go play the best. And we get that opportunity, so just, it's going to be awesome.
Lane Kiffin still telling reporters he's helping with the game plan, but he's officially out as OC and will not be in the press box Monday night. Nick Saban asked about his choice of Steve Sarkisian as coordinator for the offense at Bama.
I just feel like I have to make decisions based on what's best for the players to have the best chance to be successful, and you know, we made the decision, and we're not talking about it anymore. And we're moving forward, and we're looking forward.
The Tide working out today. They'll head to Tampa tomorrow. At Auburn, Carl Lawson, defensive lineman, bypassing his senior season for the NFL draft, could go in the first or second round. Angie Norfell, ARN Sports.
Oh no, that's what Ohio State said. Alright, Dan the man is back with us. Dan, after 3 weeks away, glad to have you back, man.
Hey, happy new year to you guys. I appreciate hearing from you again. It seemed literally like a year, but
yeah.
luckily we still got one big game left, and happy to talk about it.
Hey, yeah.
It was probably last year.
Yeah. Hey, Dan, how cold is it before we get started?
No one laughed.
The windshield is below zero.
Below zero. Hey, just to let you know, we have dismissed schools in our Coleman County for tomorrow because they're saying we may have, say, an inch of snow tomorrow. So school is canceled in Coleman County, Alabama.
I know. It's crazy around certain parts of the country where you get, you know, just a little bit of snow and everything goes haywire.
Yeah. Hey, Chris, we've not got a drop yet. I mean, they're just giving a chance of it. So, yeah. Dan, I'm sorry. I'm still on the last caller. All right, Dan. Before we get to talking championship and all that good stuff, give us your thoughts on the first round of the playoffs, the Alabama win, and the Clemson win.
Yeah, certainly defense led the way, and it just goes to show you that we thought the two best teams, at least for me, were Bama and Clemson on paper going into the year, and then certainly as the season progressed, I thought these were the two teams. Losing around in October, you kind of get the sense of who these teams are, and you know, despite one loss from Clemson, they beat quite a few good teams on the schedule. Obviously, Alabama went through quite the gauntlet running the table in the SEC, so wasn't too shocking, but it just goes to show the defense that led the way for these two teams really showed up big time in their national semifinal matchups. And it was really after that first drive for the Huskies of Washington a little fluke touchdown, if you will, caught by Bama by surprise. I could say fluke because it was difficult for Washington to just cross the 50-yard line for the rest of the game. Until mop-up duty, they didn't even really get in the red zone, to my knowledge. So that was just quite the domination up front. Alabama is as good as we've seen in maybe a long time. And then in the back, even without Eddie Jackson, their secondary really was able to press coverage because Alabama, for the most part, has been able to get pressure on any team in the country this year with just rushing three and four down linemen. And then every receiver that Washington ran routes with was pretty much double covered. And John Ross, who's now going pro, along with Dante Pettis, who did wonders in the Pac-12, were blanketed the entire afternoon and evening by Alabama. And I think the same goes for Clemson. They really, bottle up that Ohio State running game. And if you can shut down JT Barrett in that running game, which has not been easy for at least Big Ten foes, and you make them pass in obvious passing down situations, if you got anywhere close to the talent that Clemson has, there's a good chance you're going to really shut them down, and in this case, shut them out. So those are two, maybe they live up to the hype in terms of two great matches by any means, but nonetheless, it's given us perhaps one of the better national championships we may see in quite a while. Many people are hyped for this one between Clemson and Alabama, perhaps better than last year, which was amazing, and perhaps can live up to maybe that Rose Bowl of USC and Texas not too long ago with Vince Young, Reggie Bush, and Matt Leinart. So that's just the type of hype, talent, overall pro prospects we got in this one. And it turned out in those semifinal matchups, the defenses just run the table. They ran the way. They owned the game. And it just tells you, you great teams win the battle of the trenches. You build great teams from the inside out. And Bama and Clemson led that way.
All right, and Dan, just over, they have just put this up on the board, and we need to announce this. Governor Bentley here in Alabama has declared a state of emergency ahead of the winter weather effective 7 a.m. tomorrow morning.
I'm glad with all that scandal down in Montgomery, we can still do some work.
I hope you're not.
Just about and a little bit, like an inch or two, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe, and it's only a 20 or 30% chance of that.
So. Oh, boy.
I hope you're not wanting to fly into Birmingham because they'll probably shut down the airport.
Oh, boy.
Hey, Jay, leave that up for a minute. I want to get a picture of that before you take it down. All right, man, back to football. Last game, Alabama's offense against Washington was middle of the road at the best, and this week we find out Lane Kiffin was given a ticket out of Tuscaloosa by Saban. What kind of effect, if any, do you think this will have on Alabama Monday night?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it'll have a big-time effect, but I think certainly you could argue that it's going to have at least a little bit of effect. Just, it's always a big difference from you playing your last game, in this case, Alabama, early December, that first Saturday of December against the Gators, where, those last few games against Auburn and Florida, and even the FCS opponent they played, the offense was not exactly in cruise control. I mean, it was kind of struggling for the most part, and luckily they got a great defense and special teams, probably better than anybody in the country on paper and production-wise. But the offense has not really hit its full gear like it did maybe in the middle part of the season with Jalen Hurts. So you could maybe look at that as an excuse or potentially argue that maybe Steve Sarkisian maybe won't be able to, with Nick Saban, won't be able to get this offense back to where they once were. And certainly you can look at Lane Kiffin, what he's done, kind of, been methodical the last couple of weeks. They've not been getting a lot of explosive plays. Weren't for Bo Scarborough, the Crimson Tide offense, you would argue, was as bad as it gets for the expectations they had. But luckily they could still run the ball. So I think it's going to make a little bit of a difference, but I wouldn't get ready to jump off the roof and say it's going to be, quite as bad as it was we saw against Washington early in the part of that game. Bama really struggled to move the ball. But certainly they'll have more chances in this game where we could see some more points. So I would play a little bit, just that overall rhythm. You practice a lot, but it's not quite the same as playing as many games as you do in September, October, November. Nowadays, you only had two games since that first Saturday of December.
Great. Hey, Dan, moving on to the big game here, a rematch of last year's game. First, we have to ask, when was the last time we had a championship rematch from the previous year? That's my first part of the question. And without telling us who you think will win the game, give us Dan's preview of the game.
Yeah, well, this is the first ever, number one versus number two that we've seen in the rematch. We have seen some rematches of top five teams, but this would be the first ever, per many reports and from what I've seen. The only examples would be in 1989 and 1990, Colorado and Notre Dame played back-to-back in bowl games. Colorado was number one for both, but Notre Dame was barely top five for both. And they split those two matchups. Colorado ended up winning the 1990 AP poll. And then in 1997 and 1980, Florida State and Oklahoma played in consecutive Orange Bowls, as they were both in the top five, but neither won the national title or were in the top one or two. So this would be the first time ever. It's a little tough to compare because now we're in the BCS era and now the CFP era. So essentially the BCS era, we've never seen that. And, you know, since the beginning of time for all the reports, this would be the first ever rematch of one or two. So it just tells you how entertaining, how electric this atmosphere in this game should be. And quick preview, I think, if you're just looking for this rematch from a year ago, I think both teams are certainly improved. But I really question, you know, Clemson, I shouldn't say question, but I wonder up front if the Clemson defensive line, if they're even remotely close or better than last year, which I think they might be. The beef they have up front, they've showed on the stretches, looks like an improvement from a year ago. They could, you know, slow down the Alabama rushing attack and really put the game in the hands of Jalen Hurts and their very, very productive receivers. Our Darius Stewart and Calvin Ridley have had tremendous years. Maybe not Big 12 offensive all-world numbers, and as well as O.J. Howard, of course, had a coming out party a year ago. But these guys, I think, will be relied upon more in this game. I think the pace, maybe not quite as big, as quick as last year, but I think some points will be scored in this one, which is saying quite a bit because these defenses are so darn dominant. So for me, it's the passing game of Jalen Hurts with his receivers, because I think the D-line of Clemson will give the Alabama offensive line some issues up front.
Great. Thanks, Dan. Hey, everybody feels, or I believe, that the best two teams are in the title game, which is really what we want to happen anyway. Mm-hmm. But my question is, each team will be facing its toughest competition of the year, but looking back over the season, which team is comparable closest to Alabama that Clemson's played, and then vice versa for Alabama?
For sure. And keep in mind, obviously, lots changed throughout the season. We've noticed that over many years.
Right.
So for comparisons, for Clemson's comparison, I would go with Florida State. When that game was back and forth, for Florida State, it had a block in the back that ultimately cost them potentially the game. They still had a chance defensively, and Florida State wasn't dominant defensively, but slowing down Clemson's offense was quite the challenge, and Clemson ended up winning that game in Tallahassee. But you look at the home run hitting ability of Dalvin Cook, maybe not quite the same build of Bo Scarborough, but the ability to run the ball like the Tide did, you know, a little bit more improved or better, per se, over Florida State. Very physical up front is Alabama, a very good dominant running attack, and capable receivers as Alabama have. I think the overall speed, Alabama more than so at least matches Alabama, Florida State, excuse me, offensively. And I think you tone up a few notches, obviously, on the defensive end. So in terms of the overall speed, I compare Clemson's to Florida State's, which is probably their toughest they saw all year. And they'll be a little bit more physical, obviously, when they take on Bama. And for the Crimson Tide, I would go back to an early season game in Oxford against the Ole Miss Rebels, where Chad Kelly was dropping dimes and perfect passes to receivers that was, for the most part, torching Alabama. But luckily, Alabama was able to counter that, was able to counter that with some points on their own side of the ball defensively. So I think that's a little bit comparable to Clemson, who's got a little bit more, obviously, balance in the running game, but they got a loaded weapons at receiver and tight end. So I think compared to Ole Miss, where they were early in the season, they looked like a top-10 team for a few weeks. So I think those are the two comparisons, the overall speed, that ability to stretch the field like Ole Miss did against Alabama early in the year. They're going to see that against Clemson, and there's a chance Clemson, they're going to try to run the ball a little bit with Deshaun Watson and Wayne Gallman, but for the most part, they have Mike Williams, who could be a top-10 pick at the next level. Jordan Leggett could be a first or second rounder as a tight end. And you throw Artavis Scott, who's got the most catches in Clemson history, Hunter Renfrow, Deion Kane. These guys are going to try to do their best to really torch Alabama secondary, similar to what Ole Miss did earlier this season.
Hey, great, Dan. Appreciate that. Got one more for you, and then Jason's going to take it. Last year, the game was a shootout. My question is, how many points do you think Bama is going to have to have, and it's going to take for Bama to win the game?
I would say 30 plus. So specific number, I'll say 36, I think, is a good number. So I think it's going to be close to last year. They're going to need a lot of points. And that's with a great, amazing defense that Alabama has. It's going to be really tough, in my opinion, to hold Clemson, you know, below 30. It's going to be very difficult because their receivers at the next level have a chance to have a few guys that will be starting on NFL rosters. Many could start today for even some playoff teams, potentially. The Pittsburgh Steelers would love to have Mike Williams or Calvin Ridley or potentially O.J. Howard at tight end, these guys at receiver that would help opposite side of Antonio Brown for the Steelers. So I think 36 would be the number for Bama. I would say at least 30-plus, though.
Yeah, I agree with you, Dan. We were thinking of when we were talking to Chris earlier, he gave us his score. He thought it would be, and I was just sitting here in my mind, I was thinking Bama needs 36, and that's exactly the number that you were on as well. But I agree with you. You were talking about the receiver from Clemson, Williams, who did not get mm-hmm. to play last year. I think he potentially will deal Alabama fits because – there's no doubt he is a legitimate pro prospect and a big kid. I think he's 6'4"-ish, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Yep. Yeah, 6'3", 220 plus. He's definitely built like Des Bryant-esque, where he can break a tackle or two and drag defenders in the red zone.
Exactly. Okay. Thanks, Dan.
All right, Dan. Before we let you give out your bowl game awards, we've patiently waited, but now we've got to know who wins Monday night and give us your score prediction.
Yeah, I think this is going to be quite the doozy. And for a person like myself that's proclaimed Nick Saban as the greatest coach of all time, I think another national title will certainly make the argument maybe almost over. And I think he's got a chance to win several more. But I'm going to go with Clemson, which I did last year. Did not work out in my favor, so maybe this is a good thing that I'm picking against. Not that just the greatest program in college football, but in my opinion, the best current program in all of college sports, and I think they're up there professionally as well. But I'm going to go against the tide. Give me Clemson 35-32, and I think the offense of Deshaun Watson and Clemson is really going to give Alabama fits, and I think the offense of Alabama will let them down at times. I think it'll be Alabama trailing throughout this game, and they'll rally a tremendous comeback that, in my opinion, will come just short. So give me Clemson 35-32. I think Bama is certainly the better team on paper, but I think Clemson gets the redemption and revenge, if you will, in what will be maybe among the five greatest national championships in the last 25 years, I'll go on to say, is what we'll see upcoming in a few nights. So 35-32 Clemson. Should be amazing matchup that I simply cannot wait for.
All right. Hey, and that's the way I like it. I like it when you have a championship game and everybody is split on who they think is going to win. So.
And you want it to be a good game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we don't want any more of that Alabama-Notre Dame
stuff.
That's
awful, yeah.
All right, it's time for the bowl game awards. And, Ronnie, if he wants to throw in his after you.
I don't want to follow up, Dan.
Dan. Oh, you can just say, I agree with Dan.
I agree with Dan.
All right, Dan, the first one, drum roll, please, for the bowl games, including all bowl games except the championship, biggest surprise?
Yeah, I'm looking at the bigger bowl games here, and for me the surprise was certainly the Heisman winner in Lamar Jackson of Louisville get shut out of the end zone, held to two field goals against an LSU team that thought would win. But I didn't think they'd win by seemingly half a hundred. So Lamar Jackson completely shut down. Recent Heisman winners have done very well. The last time I recall a Heisman winner really struggling was Jason White against, yes, LSU in the national championship, I believe it was 04 in the Sugar Bowl. And LSU, I think, shut down Capinelli from Penn State way before my time. I believe it was in the 60s or 70s. So they've had some history on their side. The LSU Bayou Bengals defense has slowed down Heisman winners. But historically, or at least production, statistically speaking, Lamar Jackson's the greatest ever. And he had arguably the worst performance ever against LSU. Lamar Jackson and Louisville, my surprise in a bad way, just couldn't believe Lamar Jackson. I would have bet a few full slabs of ribs they would at least find the end zone once and no dice.
All right, let me ask both of you something.
I agree with
Dave. Do you think if the Heisman were voted on today that Lamar Jackson would still be the Heisman winner?
I think so. I think it'd still win, but it'd be very close over to Deshaun Watson. I think you'd have to ask me that question in 5 or 6 days, you know, after Monday night. If Watson has a similar performance that he did last year with a victory, I think then maybe I would potentially change my vote. But still after this matchup, I think I would still lean towards Lamar Jackson. And unless Watson can do what he did last year and win, then maybe I change it. But you got to view the whole season. And in September, and really for October, Lamar Jackson was head and shoulders above everybody. And he did have a bad month, but his one bad month, I don't think, is enough for him to drop down a spot. So for me, he can still win it. But potentially, if you want to wait till all the bowl games are finished, then you could argue that Deshaun Watson was more worthy, especially taking on the Alabama defense.
Okay. I don't know why they don't wait till the bowl games are over anyway to vote on it. All right.
Yeah.
You say you agree, Ronnie?
I agree with Dan on that one.
All right, Dan. Biggest disappointment?
I'm going to go with Ohio State. The Ohio State Buckeyes shut out for the first time since 1993. It was the first time Urban Meyer has ever been shut out. So go back to Bowling Green, Utah. Yeah, his teams, Florida, his teams are borderline flawless in bowl games. And going into that game, he had the greatest winning percentage ever for postseason games. And, you know, many people consider him one of the greatest coaches of all time, maybe second to only Saban, at least among current coaches in recent memory. So a lot of people were taking Ohio State, and they were favored in Vegas. It did drop from about 3.5 to 1.5. I was kind of leaning towards Clemson the entire month leading up to that game. But I just thought Clemson offensively, they have 6 or 7 guys that will play on Sundays maybe next year, or certainly very soon. Ohio State has close to 0 into skilled players. They got some big-time weaknesses. They lost Michael Thomas, who had a big-time year with Drew Brees and the Saints. But outside of, Weber's decent at running back for them, but he's a freshman. JT Barrett will never be a successful starting NFL quarterback, in my opinion. And certainly Curtis Samuel was probably their only true game-breaker, and he was pretty much helping check the entire game. A suspect O-line down the stretch for the Buckeyes as well. So I think disappointment. Ohio State, I would have taken that full slab of rib bet with you, saying they would not have been shut out, and poof.
Good choice.
Yep, I go with the Buckeyes.
Absolutely. Money. I think he's spot on with that one. I couldn't even think of anybody else to compare to that.
All right. Most exciting finish.
Wow. It's a co-tie, co-winners. Give me the Orange and Rose Bowl. I mean, most people would probably lean towards the Rose, so if I had to lean, I actually lean towards the Orange Bowl. I think those teams are actually slightly better, maybe not going to finish in the polls slightly ahead of USC and Penn State, but Michigan was getting dominated for most of the game. Then, of course, came back second half to see Florida State. They're going to take a knee at the end zone after the kickoff of trailing by a point and then, or by a possession. And then, of course, they brought it out to the Michigan 30, inside the 35, scored a touchdown on third and long. Then they got the extra point return for 2 in the block PAT. Pretty chaotic game, and for me, Florida State Michigan, that game was actually a little bit more entertaining for me than the Rose Bowl, which was a video game like. So I respect that with offensive juggernauts, but the defense is a little suspect. Florida State's defense, their D line, is one of the better ones in the country, and they, you know, mauled the Michigan offensive line. And then in the game, that's pretty much one of them game with DeMarcus Walker. So that was just two tremendous games, but I'd go with the Orange Bowl because that thrilling finish was certainly a little bit better for me than the USC-Penn State fourth quarter, which had a turnover and ultimately just a field goal. Florida State, of course, had that game-winning touchdown under a minute. So both were, I think, two of the better Orange and Rose Bowl games I've seen in my life, so just over 25, 30 years. And it was nothing more I could have asked for in those two games.
Right.
Just two games that I'll never forget the rest of my life.
Good deal. Yeah. Ronnie?
Since he mentioned the two bowls that I would agree on, and he took the Orange, I'll take the Rose with Penn State and USC. So that would be my choice. That was a good one.
All right, two more. Best team not in the playoffs.
Wow. So I would choose between Florida State, Oklahoma, and USC. I would have included Penn State had they won, and even playing on the road per se for them, their defense just wasn't up to par, in my opinion. So I think any of those three, I think you can't go wrong. I thought Florida State had the best win of the three, in my opinion, despite playing in their home state, and despite Michigan having a few injuries. Florida State has had many injuries throughout the season, like most teams do. I would lean with Florida State just because I was impressed with their defense. Dalvin Cook, I think, last time I checked, he could probably play for any team in the country. He's going to make a darn good NFL roster next year for some team in probably the first 15, 20 picks. So you can't go wrong with USC and Oklahoma. They got a little bit more momentum than Florida State. But I would go with the Noles because I thought Michigan, going into the postseason, these bowl games was the best team on paper. And even production, I'd argue they were the best team. I think they deserved to get in. But I thought they were my fifth best team going into these bowl games. And for them to lose to Florida State, I'm a slight nod to them. But you can't go wrong with any of those three in my eyes.
All right, Ronnie?
Florida State.
Florida State. All right, last question. Best coach not in the playoffs?
Wow. I'm going to go with Bob Stoops. I think what he's done in his career at Oklahoma has certainly been, you know, quite the legacy that he's left in Norman, and he's got a few more years, maybe some opportunities to get back to premier bowl games and contend for national championships. So I think he's certainly a top 20 coach of all time, and I think and he's only improving. So I would go with Bob Stoops. There's many great options. Jim Harbaugh's had a couple years only really under his belt. Jimbo Fisher, likewise. Bob Stoops is, you know, been there, won that title in 2000 over Florida State and Heisman winner Chris Winkie. So I would go with Oklahoma head coach Bob Stoops.
All right, good deal. Had a couple more, but time has got us, and it wasn't anything real important anyway, Dan. So, man, we appreciate the time you've spent with us and the knowledge you've shared, and hope you have a great weekend, and hopefully we can talk to you next week and get the report on what happened.
Maybe we won't be snowed in.
Yeah, if our lines are not down. So.
You guys are the best. I appreciate it, and have a great weekend.
You too.
Thanks, Dan.
Take care.
All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, Rex Chambers will be talking to us about putting a fish in the boot.
Brr.
Oh, you're going to be tough if you go out there now. Sports Talk Live 95.5. We'll be right back. Let me begin. I can't no win. Battle me. That's a sin. I won't ever slack up. Okay, better back up. Try and play the role and you're not.
Live 95, Cullman's Independent Radio, is proud to present yet another local community program for Cullman. Join us immediately following Sports Talk Live on Thursdays for a brand new show that will help our listeners focus on lifestyle health, including working towards a goal of reaching your optimal weight and creating an optimal health environment for the rest of your life. Join host Sandy Seibert each and every Thursday evening at 6 p.m. for Path Changers, Habits of Health. Immediately following Sports Talk Live, right here on the station that is all about Cullman, by Cullman, for Cullman. Live 95.5 FM, Cullman's Independent Radio.
Did you know that you can save 10% or more on your broadband internet bill? Since 2004, Cyber Broadband has been known across Cullman County as the only provider to bring broadband internet access to rural areas not served by cable or telephone providers, and all without those pesky data caps. Now, Cyber Broadband, which is a locally owned and operated company, is introducing a competitive broadband product, Cyber Next Gen DSL, available through Cyber Broadband for on average 10% less than the other providers. Get those cyber benefits, like a $10 referral discount for anyone else that you refer to the service, or bundle with the Cyber Broadband cellular service. Save 10% or more on your broadband internet bill today. More information is available at cyberbroadband.net or by phone at 256-734-1077. Not available in all areas. Generally, if you sign up for broadband service through another company and their promotional discount has expired, Cyber's retail price will be 10% less than the competition standard pricing or better. Chances are, if you don't qualify for the phone company's DSL, you won't qualify for Cyber's next-gen DSL service either, but you may still qualify for Cyber Broadband's radio service. More information is available at www.cyberbroadband.net or by phone at 256-734-1077. Woo! It's tough work, but somebody's got to do it.
You've thought about it.
You've talked about it. You've even stared into the mirror dreaming about it. Well, now is the time, and Coleman Sports Fit is the place to get that body you've been wanting. Shaping Coleman since 1989, Coleman Sports Fit offers free weights and Cybex machines, treadmills, stair steppers, ellipticals, and an indoor track. Want to get wet? Take a swim in the indoor pool, whirlpool, or steam room. Coleman Sports Fit offers a variety of fun group classes too, like spinning, muscle pump, Zumba, cardio sculpt, or dance fit. Plus, Coleman Sports Fit has the area's only racquetball courts. And for seniors, Coleman Sports Fit is a proud provider of Silver Sneakers and Silver Fit, a seniors only exercise plan at little or no cost. Coleman Sports Fit Wellness Center, Highway 31 next to the Ag Center. For more information, visit ColemanSportsFit.com. Hey guys, let's face it, we all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089. 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
Welcome back, Sport Talk Live. It is 5:36, and we got our old fishing buddy, Mr. Rex Chambers, joining us. So, Rex, how are you, man? We hadn't been on in a while. How you doing?
It's been a while.
It sure has. Did y'all have a nice Christmas and the New Year and all that?
Better than I deserve. Now, I heard my predecessor say he possibly would still vote for the Heisman winner.
That's what he said.
We just looked at one another like, you got to be kidding me. Good grief.
Anytime he faces a defense better than a high school defense, he struggles. I mean, it's ridiculous. Like I said, I told you before, there's a dozen, and I'll put it up to two dozen better ball players than he is in the country.
I was shocked when I heard that. There is no way on the face of earth I would vote for – you know, Lamar Jackson to be the Heisman Trophy winner.
Other than that, he was spot on.
Yeah, exactly. you got that right. That was not the answer I was expecting. So,
let me back up. I think it's a little off on one other thing. There is no way on God's green earth that Clemson scores five touchdowns.
You don't think so?
No way.
No way.
They might score two, but they ain't going to score five. He said 35 points.
So yeah, 35,
32. Ain't
going to
happen.
The only way I could see it happening, Rex, would be if, you know, we turn the ball over, they run a punt back or a kickoff back, special team stuff.
It'd have to be special. They're not going to score on that defense. As bad as I am in Alabama, hater.
Amen to that.
They have the best defensive front I've ever seen in college football.
They're an NFL defense.
They literally are, and every one of them hopefully is going to be going to the NFL. I don't see it. Now, I do see it being a really good ball game because I don't think Alabama's offense can score a whole lot of points either.
I'm with you.
But give Bama's D two touchdowns. Sorry. Give them 14 points right off the bat.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't see it being 35. But yes, you are correct. Fishing is cold.
And you would know for a fact because you were on the lake today, right?
I had a fella call me last week saying, hey, can you do a guide trip for Thursday? And I said, sure I can, looking at the weather forecast. And it was a little cold fishing from 10 o'clock this morning to 4 o'clock this evening.
Where were you?
I'm Smith.
You're on Smith. Hey, I did see an applause for you, or recognition. You and your fishing partner won a tournament a week or so ago. Is that correct? With about 23 pounds?
We won the New Year's Day tournament on Gunnerville. Yeah, a little over 22. Had a good day. Had a good day.
I saw some of the fish. Impressive stringer of fish right there.
Well, We actually put that tournament. I've been doing that tournament for 4 years, and we hadn't won it yet. So I told him it was about time we won one.
So had you been on the fish? Did you think, hey, we got a shot to win this by your fishing up to the tournament, or was this?
Yeah, I haven't been on Gunnersville a whole lot, and I went on Friday and just go look around, and I caught a lot of fish, but I didn't catch a lot of big fish.
Yeah.
And my partner, he also went, but he went on a different end of the lake, and he caught not a lot of fish, but what he caught was big fish. So we split it up. We went to my fish early in the morning and caught probably 2 or 3 limits, but one decent 4-pounder.
Right.
And then we go to fish that he had found a few miles away, and we didn't get a whole lot of bites, but what we caught was big ones.
Right.
Just like in practice, worked out right, and we had a pretty good limit and needed a big one, and about hour four tournament's over, I got one a little over 6 pounds, so that did us in and gave us a pretty decent win to start the new year.
Absolutely, fantastic. Hey, were you crankbait fishing by chance?
No, I was swimbait and rattlebait. We caught our early fish on a rattlebait up about 2 foot of water, and a little shallow crankbait a little bit, but mainly rattlebait, and then put the big 7-inch swimbait on, got out in about 22 feet, and went to rolling it.
I got you. Hey, Rex, let me ask you this question. When you're talking about, when I'm talking about swim bait, I'm talking about a soft swim bait. If I'm on Smith, let's just say, 4 or 5 inch with, if you want to put a jig head on it or whatever, that bait seems to have become very popular the last few years. Would that be correct?
It had. It's had, the last 5 years, it's had a big boom. I say since probably 2010, the last 7 years. It really went big in 2010. And, of course, then in 2011, you had the Alabama rig hit.
Right.
And that's what everybody was putting on Alabama rigs, was the bigger swim baits. And since then, there's been so many companies pop up with swim baits and swim bait heads. And the biggest part of your throwing a swim bait is having the correct swim bait head with the right hook. Because, I'm throwing a 7-inch Bastrix swim bait with a 1-ounce head. And, that thing weighs.
Yeah.
It's just, you can throw it a mile, but it's a heavy, heavy, big
right.
bait. And, my first cast with it on Sunday morning on our big fish spot, I catch a spot.
Wow.
With on a 7-inch swim bait. I catch a spotted bass. You couldn't do that on Smith if you stayed down there for 2 weeks.
Exactly. That's what I was going to ask you, because I've seen quite a bit of that lately. My son had been down, and he'd caught some, and I've got some of those, in my tackle box as well. Compare the baits you would want to use at Gunnersville with just, I'm talking about a soft swim bait, compared to if you're on Smith.
Or just, you have to sight. That's all there is to it. I don't throw anything over 5 inches on Smith.
Okay.
I've caught them on six-inch baits before, but it's very rare. But now, usually I'm throwing a 3.5 or 4.5-inch swim bait when I'm throwing a swim bait on Smith Lake.
Okay.
A little shadowless makes the perfect size.
Is that a KVD or Strike King lure?
Shadowlicious is their own.
Okay.
I don't think they're Strike King.
Okay. Okay.
They may be, but I don't think. Yeah, they may be Strike King.
Okay.
It's like I said, it's just a hollow body, and 4.5 is as big as I'll go on Smith, unless the bite's just really on.
Okay.
And then I might up my size a little bit, but 4.5 on a 1/2-ounce head at the most. Majority of the time, I'm throwing it on a 1/4-ounce head.
A quarter to a half.
Yeah, I want that slow fall and that little suspended fish.
Okay.
So,
you just have the jig head hook through and the hood and the hook exposed. Okay.
Yeah, that's your best way, and that's and a lot of times I threw a little bit Saturday. We fished the tournament Saturday on Smith, and I caught a couple of fish. I didn't catch any big ones on it, but I was throwing on just a regular. Shaggy head, a 1/4-ounce shaggy head. It works just fine.
Oh, okay. Okay. And how deep will that run, Rex? Or how deep would you suggest fishing?
It runs deep as you'll let it sink, but,
gotcha.
Usually, like this time of year, I'm throwing toward the bank, landing in 12 feet, pulling it out to about 30.
Okay. Okay.
We had a little over 15 pounds Saturday, in which I thought was really, really good on Smith. We caught a dozen or 13 overs.
Wow.
And 15 pounds was just good enough for the fifth just, biggest bag.
Wow. That's fantastic. But I enjoy fishing those things myself, you know, and anybody, I mean, I say anybody, you know, if you're taking somebody who's a novice that doesn't really know much about fishing, you know, they can throw it out, let it sink, reel it in, you know. I mean, it's
the fold out, reel in bait is the technical part of it comes on the funny bite.
Yeah.
You can't set the hook when you feel a fish because the majority of the time they'll bump it.
Right.
And they'll bump it again, and then all of a sudden it'll load up. When it loads up, it's when you want to set the hook.
I got you. Now I've seen some people, and maybe they're fishing it up in grass and, you know, running the banks and that kind of thing, is they'll use a weighted hook and they'll, you know, sink it back into the bait itself. That's your second option as far as how you want to fish it?
If I'm in grass, it's definitely, I throw it on a weedless hook. But, you know, that's kind of few and far between because the majority of the time if I'm throwing a swim bait, I'm throwing it on the outer edges so I don't worry about it being weedless.
Right.
But you can fish a swim bait like a buzz bait. You know, in the grass. I mean, you put it on a weighted hook and just burn it. The top, and they'll absolutely annihilate it.
Right, and that's a bait that honestly can be used year round, Rex.
Year round. Hey, think about it. Do they ever not eat a shed?
That's right.
Yeah, they're always eating shed, so they'll hit a swim bait any time of year.
Right. Is there one? I know how you are on colors. Is there one color that? You would fish at Smith and then a color that you might use at Gunnersville if you had to pick one color.
Well, I would never throw gizzard shad color on Smith because there's not a lot of gizzard shad on Smith.
Right.
You know, I throw the blueback herring color on Smith. Anything that looks like a blueback herring, anything that's got a green back or a little blue side,
right?
That's what I throw on Smith. Now, on Gunnersville, you got your pick from colors on Gunnersville. Anything from a yellow perch color to a herring color, which no herring there, but they'll still hit it.
Right.
But the gizzard shad is what they hit 90% of the time.
I got you. Okay. Well, that was just, I'd read some recently about that, and I've been hearing, you know, a lot about the swim baits and the soft swim baits, and I just wanted to kind of pick your brain a little bit there with that. So.
Swim bait is a technique that just about anybody can learn.
Right.
But it takes a long time to perfect it.
I got you. Well, hey Rex, I know you are busy, and I know you got things to do today, places you got to be. Are you bowling tonight?
I'm sitting in the parking lot.
I got you. All right, man. Hey, I'm not going to keep you any longer. I know you got to get in there. But, hey, thanks for the info, Rex. Thanks for joining us every week. Man, we really appreciate it.
And War Eagle.
And War
Eagle. hey, did Auburn play in a bowl?
No, they didn't. Oklahoma did, right. But Auburn didn't.
They got the quarterback coming, Rex. That's what you've been hearing ever since Cam.
Hey, he's a talent.
I agree.
You know, let me tell you this much. When White got hurt against Oklahoma, you seen him run into the tunnel?
Yes.
That was the bus headed to Jacksonville State. He didn't want to miss it.
Yeah, because he's not going to get his uniform dirty again during the game.
I hope he's a starter for 2017 at Jacksonville State.
Go Gamecocks!
I've said it before, and I'm gonna say it again. He's gonna have to figure out when he actually breaks his arm next time. So.
All right, Rex. Hey, thanks, buddy. We appreciate it.
All right, y'all have a good one.
All right,
see you, Rex.
It is 5:49. We're going to a quick break. We'll be back, and I'm sure Jason's going to give us. Have you ever made your pick for the game?
No.
Okay. Well, get Jason pick for the game. Stay with us. Sports Talk Live 95.5. Coleman.
Hey guys, let's face it. We all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089. 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
Did you know that you can save 10% or more on your broadband internet bill. Since 2004, Cyber Broadband has been known across Coleman County as the only provider to bring broadband internet access to rural areas not served by cable or telephone providers, and all without those pesky data caps. Now, Cyber Broadband, which is a locally owned and operated company, is introducing a competitive broadband product, Cyber Next Gen DSL, available through Cyber Broadband for on average 10% less than the other providers. Get those cyber benefits, like a $10 referral discount for anyone else that you refer to the service, or bundle with the Cyber Broadband Cellular Service. Save 10% or more on your broadband internet bill today. More information is available at cyberbroadband.net or by phone at 256-734-1077. Not available in all areas. Generally, if you sign up for broadband service to another company and their promotional discount has expired, Cyber's retail price will be 10% less than the competition standard pricing or better. Chances are, if you don't qualify for the phone company's DSL, you won't qualify for Cyber's next-gen DSL service either, but you may still qualify for Cyber Broadband's radio service. More information is available at www.cyberbroadband.net or by phone at 256-734-1077. Woo, it's tough work, but somebody's got to do it.
Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio, is proud to present yet another local community program for Coleman. Join us immediately following Sports Talk Live on Thursdays for a brand new show that will help our listeners focus on lifestyle health, including working towards a goal of reaching your optimal weight and creating an optimal health environment for the rest of your life. Join host Sandy Seibert each and every Thursday evening at 6 p.m. for Path Changers, Habits of Health, immediately following Sports Talk Live, right here on the station that is all about Coleman, by Coleman, for Coleman. Live 95.5 FM, Coleman's Independent Radio. You've thought about it. You've talked about it. You've even stared into the mirror dreaming about it. Well, now is the time, and Coleman Sports Fit is the place to get that body you've been wanting. Shaping Coleman since 1989, Coleman Sports Fit offers free weights and Cybex machines, treadmills, stair steppers, ellipticals, and an indoor track. Want to get wet? Take a swim in the indoor pool, whirlpool, or steam room. Coleman Sports Fit offers a variety of fun group classes too, like spinning, muscle pump, Zumba, cardio sculpt, or dance fit. Plus, Coleman Sports Fit has the area's only racquetball courts. And for seniors, Coleman Sports Fit is a proud provider of Silver Sneakers and Silver Fit, a seniors only exercise plan at little or no cost. Coleman Sports Fit Wellness Center, Highway 31 next to the Ag Center. For more information, visit ColemanSportsFit.com.
Sports Talk Live, 95.5, 5:54, let's call it, 6 minutes until 6.
Get you milk and bread, baby.
State of emergency.
That's right.
Declared by Governor Bentley. National Guard troops are pulling out now.
Yeah, I think they're calling in people, you know, from power companies to come help restore all the power and the lines that'll be down.
And let's give this weather forecast. I just snapped another picture of it. And it is getting dangerous.
Okay.
Tomorrow, basically no chance of snow. Mixed clouds, sun in the morning. Tomorrow night, low of 16. Snow showers early. Breaks in the overcast later. Low of 16. Winds north at 10 to 20. Chance of snow, 50%. Snow accumulations, less than 1 inch.
I think the state of emergency is because we're all going to starve to death. Yeah. You can't buy milk or bread anymore. National Guard's going to have to come feed us.
But we have a state of emergency. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with being prepared.
That's right. We are prepared.
We are. Oh, man.
All right. Let's do our picks, Ronnie.
Do our picks for the championship game.
Championship game. All right. Ronnie and I are going for a steak dinner
next Wednesday. My pick is Alabama will win the game 36-30. That's my pick.
36-30, and you're right on the line. It's 6 points now.
Okay.
I would love to pick Clemson.
Of course you would,
but
wearing that Auburn hat.
I can't do it.
You can't. Are you Alabama going with Alabama?
Too strong.
Well, I'm a little surprised in you, Jason.
And I think they win this game and will be known as one of the best teams of all time. So Alabama wins it 31-23. They cover the spread.
Wow. I am shocked. That, you know, not to change the subject, but people have told me that I've heard that when people have heart attacks, they kind of mellow and their personalities change a little bit. I think that has happened with you. Before your heart attack, you would have never picked Alabama to have won this game.
No, I probably wouldn't. Just to be honest.
All right, that's for lunch next week, next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday.
I'll pick you up.
All right, we're going to scout out of here a little early to make room for the upcoming show. Everybody stay tuned and try to find out how not to get in the condition I was. You don't want to go to the emergency room 11, 12 o'clock at night with a heart attack.
And be transported by an ambulance to Birmingham.
Yeah, and I would have went by helicopter, but it was too foggy that night.
So, folks, please stay tuned here on Sports Talk Live, which it won't be Sports Talk Live now, but anything you need to know about health, fitness, taking care of yourself, you're about to find out with a new show that's just being kicked off tonight. So, have a great week. Stay safe. Get you milk and bread, and we will talk to you next week.
All right. I'm going to leave you with a big Roll Tide.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh.
I heard that.
Somebody call an ambulance. He's having another one.
Hang on, Jason. Let me get my phone out and record that so we can.
Oh, man. Roll Tide, folks.
We'll never hear that again.
Never.
Live 95 is Coleman's independent radio. And now it's time to check in on our regional news from the Alabama Radio Network. ARN News is provided as a service of Coleman Regional Medical Center.
Choose the side salad over the fries. Park at the back of the lot on purpose. Staying healthy isn't one choice. It's a lot of little ones. That's why at Coleman Regional, we offer so many. Childbirth education classes, rehab programs, free screenings. Most of our wellness programs are totally free. Our full list of programs and doctors is available online today at ColemanRegional.com/healthy. Coleman Regional. Live exceptional.
In the ARN News Center, I'm Angie Norvell. Talladega College President Billy Hawkins has announced its band will perform in President-elect Donald Trump's inaugural parade, despite a barrage of criticism on social media. This comes after the Presidential Inaugural Committee announced the Alabama band has accepted the invitation to march in the January 20th parade. Talladega bills itself as Alabama's oldest private, historically black liberal arts college. A German man pleads guilty, apologizing for setting fire that engulfed an oak tree at Auburn University's Tumors Corner. Jo Chen-Wee said he was sorry in court when he pled guilty to a criminal mischief charge. He's agreed to pay more than $20,000 to replace that oak. A winter storm warning issued by the National Weather Service Office in Birmingham for Calhoun, Cleburne, Shelby, Talladega, Clay, Randolph, Chilton, Coosa, Tallapoosa, and Chambers counties. A winter storm warning in effect from 6 a.m. tomorrow morning to 9 a.m. Saturday. I'm Angie Norvell. This is the Alabama Radio Network. A missing 14-year-old from Hoover found safe. Police issued an alert for Natalie Camp, who disappeared last week after leaving her family a note saying she was going away for a few days. After dispensing justice in a makeshift facility for 2 years, a new courthouse is open for business in Limestone County. Commission Chairman Mike Yarbrough.
Before, all we had was one large courtroom and one really small one. Well, the temporary judicial building that we've been using for the last 2 years had two courtrooms. Now we have two circuit courts, two district courts, and each judge and each court has their own courtroom.
New accommodations carry a $7.5 million price tag. Governor Bentley says a former state representative who pleaded guilty to bribing a lobbyist will no longer be employed at a state liquor store. Bentley says he told his chief of staff to advise that former Representative Terry Spicer will not be employed. Bentley didn't elaborate. And AAA's daily fuel gauge report shows average price per gallon of gas in Alabama at $2.14. I'm Angie Norfell. This is ARN. In Money News, Carmike Theaters at Patton Creek and Hoover, another on Doug Baker Boulevard off Highway 280 in Shelby County, asking for permission to serve alcohol at these locations. Hoover Mayor Frank Brocato says they'll hold a public hearing to find out what residents think about the idea at Patton Creek's theater January 17th.
We want to hear what the public has to say about it. I mean, that's who it affects. So their input is probably the most important in the whole scenario. So we're anxious to hear how that kind of pans out.
Hayden residents will go to the polls to decide alcohol sales January 24th. Officials say the move comes after the town hall was petitioned for a wet, dry vote. Only residents of the city of Hayden will be allowed to cast ballots. City of Tuscaloosa has launched an online financial transparency portal where citizens can search and see how tax dollars are spent. Mayor Walt Maddox.
I realize every single day, and so does our 1,400 employees, that we work for the people of this community. They pay our salaries. They deserve to see where their money goes.
I'm Angie Norfell. This is the Alabama Radio Network.
Broadcasting from the People's Bank of Alabama studio, from a transmitter as powerful as a hairdryer. Hey, we got it on high.